it's March, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I love it. And of course, I also love the fact that today is Thursday, and it's Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. It is our weekly call-in show. And of course, with me this morning, Mr. Matt Wortinger. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Pam. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Also, Ms. Rachel Fender, we have her along with us too. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning. Hello.
Are you eating pancakes with maple syrup just yet?
Not yet. Not right now, but I was, yes. I ended up with about half a gallon.
You ended up with a half a gallon.
Yes.
Well, when you think about half a gallon of syrup, that's a decent amount for you, right?
It'll tide us over.
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh. But all for how much you had and then to lead
it's
up
amazing.
To that. It is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah,
have you ever figured out what it costs, like, for all the propane and everything to make your own?
yes and no. Yeah, we were laughing about that the other day, my husband and I, because it did take a little bit longer. And honestly, shutting it down, that's what really slowed me down. I was afraid to leave it overnight. You know, letting it go, but getting it back up to temperature, that's what really took the time. So it's just
a learning. Getting too old to pull an all-nighter or what?
Well, now I think I'm going to have to, because I know it is safe sitting there, you know, and just get up and check it and everything.
Yeah.
So. But all in all, it definitely took a lot less time than last year. So
good. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. By the way, folks, for those of you who don't know, Rachel was in the process of making maple syrup and getting the sap from the trees, and she sent a bunch of pictures. You can go back to our Facebook page and take a look at those photos too. We put those up, and today, this morning, I put up the pictures that Matt sent. Are your muscles a lot bigger today, Matt, than they were last week at this time?
I got to give props to where credit's due, and my guys have really been taking care of that. I've been at the hospital a lot with my dad the last couple of weeks. He's not made a turn for the worse. So,
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I've been coming in at night doing paperwork, but they've really been doing the lion's share of the work, and I'm super thankful I got a good team here to be able to carry me when I need it.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. That's a family business for you, you know?
Got it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so tell me what's in these pictures that you took.
So there's all kinds of pretty cool stuff that you're not going to find anywhere else. There's one of the pictures I sent you. It's got a big evergreen leaves on it. It's a type of magnolia. It's a southern magnolia, but it's actually the only variety of southern magnolia that's hardy up in our area. It's called Bracken's Brown Beauty. It's absolutely a spectacular plant. It gets a beautiful, fragrant flower more towards June. If we have a really hard winter, it'll drop its leaves, but most years it'll keep its foliage, the leaves, even through the winter time. And they're kind of a cool looking leaf. They're dark glossy green on the top and then like furry brown underneath.
Yeah.
Just really unique looking plant, very different. Some you'd see in Tennessee all the time, but not going to see that up here in Ohio. One of the other cool trees that we've got in is a single trunk sweet bay magnolia. Now, sweet bay magnolia is almost 100% of the time grown in multi-stem. Very, very rarely will you find a grower that takes the time to trim off all the other stems and grow a single trunk tree. The advantage of this is now we know we can't plant the pear trees. This is one of the alternatives to that pear tree. And it's got a beautiful fragrant flower also in around June. And on a mild winter, it will keep its foliage. So it's a very unique plant. You just don't see it grown that way very often. And we've got about, I think, 16 or 18 of those trees in. Another really cool plant is called Marley's Pink Weeping Snowbell. So most of the weeping snowbells are a white flower, and they have like these little bell-shaped white flowers that hang down. Marley's is totally different. It's a real soft pink color. Beautiful, beautiful plant. Does not get very big, so it works great for really tight areas. The plant is going to mature out somewhere around 6 foot by 6 foot. That being said, most of the time that when we get these trees in, they're really small. This grower I found down there when I was on one of my buying trips last year, actually had some 2-inch caliper stuff in the field. I'd never seen them grown that big. Usually a grower won't hold a plant that long because it took probably 7 to 10 years to mature this plant up to that size. So these are pretty cool plants, very large plants, but they won't get a lot bigger. So if you want something for impact in a small area that isn't going to outgrow the area, it's a great, great option. And one other plant we got was a steeplechase arborvitae. Now, we talk about green giant arborvitaes all the time. Steeplechase is a variety that grows very similar to green giant, but the main leader on a green giant arborvitae can do what's called stretching, and it gets very thin at the top of the growth to it. Steeplechase stays much more compact and dense at the top, so it makes a better screen plant. It grows a little bit slower than Green Giant does. That's why it stays a little bit thicker and full, but it still grows fairly quick as far as evergreens grow. You can see over a foot of growth a year with this, foot to 18 inches, whereas a Green Giant, you can see up to 24 inches.
And as I look at the pictures, and again, everybody, you can go to our Facebook page at 1480 WHBC Facebook page and check out all these photos and see what Matt's talking about. But, you know, Matt, when you look at these pictures, there's a lot of green there. I know that they are not where they will be eventually, right?
There are some piles. I got pictures of piles. really good yesterday. We had a truck come in yesterday, and we had another one come in this morning. So by later today, or for sure by noon tomorrow, all this stuff will be in the ground protected, and the rain that's coming tomorrow will soak it into the mulch beds really good. So super thankful for the rain, even though you know, it's got some negative side effects. It does help us in the nursery industry, you know, soak our stuff in because our irrigation systems are still shut off. We know it's going to get cold again. And so they're not fired up. So Mother Nature, we really depend on her to give us some rain this time of year to help soak these plants in. And we're getting them in the ground when we're above freezing. The transport happened above freezing. So this is really, truly the best case scenario. Some of the piles that you saw there are some unique maple trees. So not all maple trees are created equal. We've got two varieties that there's pictures of there. One of them is called Sun Valley, and it is a full-size maple, 50-footer. But this variety of maple is a seedless maple, so it does not produce the helicopters or the whirligigs that mess up the gutters and germinate and grow in the flower beds. So that's been a really big draw the last couple of years, and they're pretty good sized trees to start with already. And then the other variety is called Brandywine. Now, Brandywine has a deep, like, rich Merlot wine red fall color to the foliage, beautiful fall color foliage, but it's a dwarf. It's only going to get in that 25 to 30 foot range. So a good shade tree for an area where you don't need a 50 foot tree. We actually planted a few of those in front of the parsonage at our church a few years ago, and they right on top of a hill, completely exposed to the winter weather. And they've adapted and done really well in that environment.
And you talk about how they'll flower and all those kinds of things. If somebody came in to take a look, do you have something to show them, you know, what they'll look like eventually or what the flowering looks like, that kind of stuff?
Yes, that's a great question, because a lot of times this stuff's not going to flower. We've got red buds on these last few loads. The red buds aren't going to flower for probably 2, 3, 4 more weeks yet, depending on what our weather does here. So a lot of times all the guys have their phones with them. That's the beauty of a smartphone. We can look up a picture, show them exactly what it's going to look like in the bloom cycle and see if that's what they're looking for to fill their space. We can show pictures on our phones and, you know, even inside the store, look it up online, show it on the iPad. One of the other unique trees we've got, it's called a Tuscasa Japanese maple. And most Japanese maples get about 25 foot tall over time. And there's a lot of varieties. Some stay smaller than that, but I would say the most common ones get about that size, and they get a real broad head as they get older. This plant grows like a column, like a pillar. So it only ends up about 6 foot wide, but it can get up to 15 to 20 foot tall.
Wow.
So it's kind of another plant that would work in a tight area where you want something unique. It's a greenleaf Japanese maple. Sometimes when I say Japanese maple, everybody thinks about the red-leafed ones. This is a green-leafed one. The advantage of a green-leaf Japanese maple is the fall color is spectacular on them. That's like a pink and orange and red all marbled into the foliage. Beautiful fall color. Green the rest of the year. And the red ones actually kind of have a kind of a blah fall color. There's not a lot of pizzazz to a red leaf tree in the fall. It kind of turns brown and drops. So some unique things you're not going to find anywhere else. I know, because I haven't seen a lot of this stuff anywhere else, and I've been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, that's awesome stuff. And I'll remind folks, you can give us a call, 330-450-1480, and you can also send an email to me, pcook@whbc.com. I'll ask the question for you. And I do happen to have an email here from Kim, who says, good morning, my tulips are starting to come up. Do I need to cover them when the temperature falls below freezing, or if there's snow in the forecast? These are my first tulips, and I'm so excited. I don't want them to get ruined.
Actually, no, you do not have to. And that is a good question, because that does people tend to, you know, ask that a lot, because it does happen. I'm minor popping up too. So, nope, they will be just fine. Nature knows what to do. If honestly, if we have a very, very hard freeze and it sets its buds, that is, you know, that would be an issue, but I don't see that really happening. To be honest, the main thing would be Repelzol, or to put something around it, because the minute that the deer will see those, they see a good lunch. So
they'll be chomping away, won't they?
Yeah. So that I would be more worried about that than any of the weather. So they will be just fine with the weather.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a break here real fast, and I know we've got some folks calling in. We'll get to the phones here in just a minute. But again, if you want to give us a call, you can do that, 330-450-1480. It is Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. And welcome back to Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. It is our weekly call-in show. I'm Pam Cook. Matt and Rachel are here, too. They'll actually be the ones to answer your questions, because they're the experts. And we're going to go back to the phones, or go to the phones this morning. And we have Jim in Jackson Township. You're on with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
I live on Pittsburgh Road, where they're doing the work on the roundabouts there at Schuylkill, and I had daffodils planted all along the front, and of course they dug all that up, and I've got a 5-gallon bucket about 6 inches deep with the daffodil bulbs, and of course I couldn't plant them in the fall, and of course a few of them are up now, but what can I do with those daffodil bulbs if
can,
I...
Can you plant them now?
No, they haven't put they got the top.
They haven't done the finish work yet.
Okay, yeah. Well, you honestly, they'll be fine in a planter or something if you want to just keep them like that and then just make sure that they're watered and everything. They're still gonna grow and do what they need to do in a pot. So they would be fine, and then you can plant them afterwards. Then, so.
Well, I've probably got a 5-gallon bucket with about 6 inches deep of daffodil bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a lot.
They're still not in soil.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you meant you dug them up. I see. Yeah.
No. When they dug up last fall, I picked them up as kind of they were digging, and I've got them in a 5-gallon bucket, and I dump them from one bucket into the other to keep them from rotting or whatever.
Yeah.
Can I plant them? When can I plant them, or should I just forget it?
Honestly, if you want to plant them as soon as you can, now would be a great time, because they are starting to they're going to want to grow, and this is their time to grow. So if they don't have any dirt or anything to get into, they are going to die. So I would put them in. If you can't put them in the ground, you can just do them in pots of dirt, and do them that way, and then you can plant them.
Well,
but I would definitely get them in something soon.
They have the topsoil across the road, but they haven't put it, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have any more other space on your property where you can clear just a little open area in like one of your mulch beds and just plant them in there for this season, and then you could move them for the next season?
Okay. So, but I should get them in the ground as soon as possible.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
And I guess, you know, and you were also saying that if he didn't want to get them into the ground, he could put them in like a planter or something. Is that what you were saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, basically kind of like what Matt was saying, like just peeling them in or putting them in a temporary spot. But you can easily do that into a planter or a pot and then plant them afterwards. Then.
Right, right.
Then if you tip the pot over, you know, you're pulling bulbs and soil out. And it's easier actually to replant them if you can do them in a planter, if that's an option. And it doesn't have to be a fancy planter. It can be, you know, come in and get a couple of our like 3 or 5 gallon nursery pots and cut the pot in half with a good pair of heavy duty scissors or pruners. And then you could plant them in that, enjoy them for this season. And then once they get that soil moved for him, he can go out and plant them where they belong.
Yeah, because who knows how long that road work's going to take.
Exactly, yeah.
We all know. We have actually had a story about that in the news today. So they hope to have it done by the end of the summer is what they're saying.
Oh.
So, but yeah, it's going to be a little while. It's going to be a little while. So, all right, again, 330-450-1480. That's the number to call. And also send an email to pcook@pcook.com. at WHBC.com. Got this email from Paula, who says, what can we put down now to keep weeds down in the summer?
So there is a product that you're going to use. It's probably a little early to put it down quite yet. It's called Preen. You can sprinkle that down in your flower bed. If you're talking about weeds in the flower bed, she wasn't specific. So they're talking about weeds in the flower bed. You can sprinkle that Preen down, I'd say, sometime around beginning of April, maybe middle of April. Depends on when we warm up. When the soil temperature gets to 50 degrees, that's when you want to make sure that Preen's down. It'll kill all seeds as they germinate, but it won't hurt anything that's already actively growing. So all your plants and your bulbs and your flowers and shrubs that come back every year, it's not going to hurt those at all. Now, if we're talking about weeds in the lawn, you also want to use a pre-emergent there, but it's a little different product. It's blended in generally to a lawn fertilizer, and that will also go down somewhere around that first week of April.
Okay. Well, see, it's still just a tad. I mean, it's March. But it's just a
tad
early.
And the chemical lasts for about 6 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks in the soil, depending on how much rain we get. So if you put it down too early and then we stay really cold late, sometimes that chemical isn't going to be as effective as putting it down right before that ground temperature warms up.
Yeah, and I have heard from several meteorologists who kind of track these things that when in the past, when we've had a very mild January and February, we've had a wicked March. So
I got a lot of trucks on the road.
We are not allowing Mother Nature to mess with us, okay? Don't bring it here, Mother Nature.
That's right. You keep that somewhere else.
Yeah.
My cousin lives out in Vegas. He's the commander of the Air Force Base out there, and they had snow in their yard yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're seeing these pictures of California, with snow.
Yeah, not too many times has Ohio got better weather than California and Vegas, huh?
I know. People taking off to go for a vacation, and they're going, what the heck is happening here? Yes.
Welcome to our party.
Yeah, exactly. How's it feel? So you laughed at us once, we're laughing at you now. My gosh. So, I guess we'll talk about some of the things that we can do to prepare, because I know, we keep mentioning that, but it doesn't hurt to say it again. This is, Matt, the time that you guys at Roars are really setting things in motion for the spring and summer, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, signage and display tables and all the things that you just don't have time to deal with when the trucks are coming one after another, and you're trying to keep your head above water, just getting everything unloaded and priced and put out for sale. All of the things that we can do to improve the business, the improvements are what we're focusing on right now. We had a couple of our crews up here last week. They laid a beautiful brick walkway down through our perennial section to make it easier to pull the wagons
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Looks a lot better than the gravel, and it should make shopping a lot easier for the customers as well. So we're doing those types of improvements. Mentioned a week ago, we were having our well pump pulled out. We have to replace our well pump, so we have a new one of those on order. It takes about 3 to 4 weeks to come in, so that'll put us around that first week of April, and that's about when we turn the wells on. So, we couldn't wait any longer. We had to move on that. But water is our lifeblood. If without the water, we don't exist for very long. So we're going to get that all handled and in place, and then when the weather breaks, we'll be good to go.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait for that to happen. And again, I posted the pictures that Matt sent me. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page. It's our News Talk 1480 WHBC Facebook page, and you'll see all of the great pictures. It makes you feel good just looking at it. I'm going to tell you that right now. And it also probably will set your mind to moving to what you might want to do in your outdoor space. So you can be thinking about that.
Equipment maintenance is definitely something. If you have been putting it off, do not delay. Get that equipment maintenance done. Whether you do it yourself or whether you take it to a place, they're going to start to get really busy here, and you're going to get 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 week wait times if you wait too much longer. If you get it in there now, you can get that maintenance done on it. And let's be honest, when these places are overloaded, are they taking as much care as when they're not busy? No,
that's a good point.
That's human nature. I want them to be working on my machine when they're not 500 machines deep. And so I take my stuff in a few weeks ago. Actually, I got to go get it picked up here this next week sometime, get it back to the house. And then when the weather breaks, I'm ready to go.
Awesome. And I feel like days like today really kind of get you in that mood, because it's so nice out, but yet we know it's still kind of early. So kind of helps motivate you a little bit.
And if you're looking at doing a project around the house, this is also the time of year. Reach out to our landscape division. Let our designers come out. Find out exactly what you're looking for. We can do a design for you. And you know, at least that's a roadmap to where you want to be. Even if the design's large, we pick away a little section at a time, and you have a game plan to go off of. So our designers are working really good right now with customers and setting up meetings and, you know, bidding jobs, whether it be something we do or whether it's something the customer wants to tackle themselves.
Also, too, if anybody's ever looking for anything kind of specific as far as plants go, it's always a good idea to kind of drop us a line and let us know. You know, we're always kind of looking for things. So if you're looking for something specific that you've had a hard time finding, you know, give us a call and we always keep a running list and we'll look for it.
I've got about 20 special orders in my special order folder already for things that people are looking from, and certain products like weird Japanese maple varieties, mm-hmm. or weird evergreen varieties. Some of those more unique things, they're grown out in Oregon. Well, this is the time of year I've got trucks coming in on a regular basis. We get later in the season and we don't bring a lot of trucks in because it's hard to ship them across the country when we're so warm. So this is the time of year. If you're looking for something a little unique, if you've got this one spot, you have this specific plant in mind. Now, not always can we find them, but I will check with them. We deal
we
with
definitely
about 40,
try. Yeah.
40 different growers. So there is a good chance to be able to find that, and they can get what they want then.
All right, we are going to take our break for the news. We've got some emails and a phone call, and we'll get to all of that here in just a few minutes. Again, you are listening to Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. All right, it is a Thursday morning, and of course, that means Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. It's our weekly call-in show, and we have Matt and Rachel with us. Okay, so the person that had called in had to go, so we have a question from them, from her, guys, and yeah. I'm going to try and read this. Okay, so she said, her azaleas are covered in flowers, but they're dropping their leaves. What can she do?
Okay, so this is not something to be super, super concerned with. There's not a lot you're going to be able to do to save that foliage. The foliage was damaged by the cold winter winds, and this is why we talk about in the fall, it's so important to seal those leaves with wiltproof. Also, you want to make sure that plant has a good drink of water before we go into winter. So the best way we can prevent this from being a problem in the future is proper care of it in the fall. You want to make sure it's watered. If we're having a real dry November, make sure it's got a good drink of water. And then after Thanksgiving, but before Christmas, seal that foliage on the azalea with wiltproof, and it'll prevent almost 100% of that winter damage.
Okay.
That being said, the damage has already been done for this season, so we know how to prevent it now. What we want to do is, when we hit the first week of April, we want to fertilize it really heavy with all-season fertilizer. It's a six-month slow release. What it will cause that plant to do is flush a huge amount of growth because it's got a really big root system, and the foliage that it's used to feeding isn't there anymore. So if we give it a lot of food, it'll flush out all kinds of new foliage, and then we want to make sure we protect that foliage next fall before we go into winter.
All right. I also got an email from Bob. Bob says, this is Bob from Louisville. He says, when is the best time to mulch your property as far as price, quality, how long it lasts, how thick is best also?
Okay. So all good questions. Most people do their mulching in the springtime. And the reason that we do the mulching in the springtime, and we usually do it sometime, I would say, around the beginning, middle of April. We're putting that layer of mulch down so weed seeds don't germinate. We talked about using that preen. That's one way to prevent weed seeds. Some of the mulches don't break down as quick as the old-fashioned mulch. There's two types of mulch. You have a bark mulch, which is the outside of the tree, and then you have a hardwood mulch, which is usually your dyed mulches, your browns, your blacks, your reds, your teals. Those mulches generally don't rot as quickly. So a lot of times people will go 2-3 seasons in between mulching, or at least every other year. Those are the times where you want to sprinkle that preen down. The bark mulch spreads much smoother, and it won't take as much if you're just top dressing it. It won't take as much mulch to cover the beds because it's a finer mulch, so it spreads easier, and it covers more by putting a thinner layer down. That mulch, however, because it is finer, it does rot quicker. So those are generally done on a yearly basis.
Okay, that's good. All right, let's go to the phones. And he's a little late today, but that's okay. Al in Plain Township, you are on the air with Roar's Nursery, sir.
Yay, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Matt, prayers to your father. I send prayers out to your dad. I hope things go well there. So
I appreciate it. That's what we can do, trust the doctors and nurses and say some prayers. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Okay, buddy. I put my it's about seeding. I put my pepper seeds in yesterday. I'm a little early with my peppers. I usually do the rest of my stuff at St. Patrick's, but I did my peppers. Now, a question that I have, you know, when you water, I've heard two ways, water from below, let it soak up in, or water from top. This is when your seedlings are now, you know, starting 2 inches, 3 inches tall. What is your advice on proper watering on people who do what I do, you know, planting from seed?
And you're starting seeds in the house, correct?
That is correct. I put them on their grow light. They'll be these are heirloom pepper seeds that I have, and tomatoes. Good. They're both heirloom. And I usually water from on top and let it soak down. And then, you know, there's no water laying anywhere. But then I was told you can water from the bottom and let it soak up.
You can. I mean, honestly, I don't really think that there is a right or wrong. You just want to make sure you don't get the foliage wet. I do what you do. I water from the top. I feel like it's, I know I'm giving it a good drink that way. You know, sometimes when it has to wick, it kind of takes a little bit longer. So, I don't think it's really right or wrong. I just really think you just want not get the foliage wet.
That's good to know. Cause I let everything just drain through and then make sure it stays dry, not soaking in water.
That's exactly what I do too. So.
Sometimes it depends on the soil, too. If you've got a real poor soil, it doesn't wick like a soil that has a lot of peat in it. So sometimes your soil mixture can determine which way might be a little better for you
as well. That's
true, yeah. Okay, makes sense. And then, Rachel, I was, I don't know if you ever heard of, it's an old retired Boy Scout camp, Camp Tuscazor. And I was asked to get on the team to help with maple syrup, which I thought would be really cool thing to do, but we're talking a lot of work here, right? In other words, when that sap's running, I mean, you got to be there when that sap's running, all right? I mean, you got to be there.
You do. You do. Correct? Yeah, that's why I just kind of stick to my own yard because, yeah, those buckets fill up quick.
You can get that called anytime, and when it's sap's run, you got to go, correct? That's, I think, keeping me from doing it.
When people realize how much work goes into it, the dollar that it costs for that maple syrup doesn't seem quite so expensive anymore.
It is cool to do, but yeah, there is a process to it. That's neat.
Yeah, then maybe I'll just be on the reserve yet to be on that team. I don't think I'll
just go down there and pitch a tent and you'll be fine, okay?
Yeah. All right. And,
Pam, if I'm
allowed real quick, there's two gentlemen that listen religiously to this, and I just want to put a shout-out to Lance and Mark. I know they're listening right now. They love the show, and they're gardeners too, so it's really cool. There's a lot of good gardeners out there, and your show really makes the difference, so we appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Lance and Mark, also. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Have a good one. Thanks, Al.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, he's not kidding about that maple syrup. I keep going back to that, but gee whiz. But I guess, Rachel, you got to try it like at least once. I mean, if that's what you're into, you know what I mean? You got to try it, right?
I think so. Yeah, my dad's always done it. It was kind of one of those, like, I can do that. So I have maple trees and anybody can really do it. But yeah, there is definitely a process involved.
I think I'm going to send producer Billy down with a tent and he can camp out at Camp Tuscazor and wait for the maple syrup. How's that sound?
I can see Billy in the background, right head, shaking his head. No way, Jose.
He's like, no, Pam, not doing it. Oh, well, we'll take a break now. And when we come back, we'll take your calls at 330-450-1480. You can also send me an email, pcook@whbc.com. Again, it is Let's Grow Together with Roar's Nursery and Garden Center. All right. right, we're at 10 minutes now before 10 o'clock, and it's been a beautiful Thursday so far. Weather's going to hold out, and we're excited about that. But again, if you want to give us a call for our final segment, 330-450-1480, that's the number to call. You can always send me an email, pcook@whbc.com, and I'll be more than happy to ask the question for you. And we had talked earlier in the show, at the beginning of the show, mentioning that I put up a bunch of pictures that Matt took of all of the unloading that took place. So what kind of, Matt, what percentage is that of what you guys will have? Can you do math like that?
Yeah. So that's the first three loads. We've got about 45 loads coming.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just the tip of the iceberg, but it is always fun. I mean, even my guys here at the nursery, the excitement for those first couple loads. Oh, man, that's cool. I haven't seen that before. And a lot of these guys are plants people. They've been doing this their whole life, so they love seeing that new stuff. And I can tell them about it in the fall. But when you see it firsthand, you're like, oh, that is really cool. I remember you saying something about this. So.
Yeah. If any customer's ever been around when we had load trucks, we get a lot of smiles at that, because we do. We all get excited about little things coming off of there. We really do.
Yeah.
The first couple of trucks, you know, there's the hope of spring. It's not coming. It's here. At least the beginning of it for us. And we'll do probably as much of the unloading from these trucks as we can in March. March is our time to set and prep and get as much work done. That way, as the customers start to come in that April, May, June, we can really focus on them and dedicate our time to taking care of that customer.
Now, I don't want to, you know, ask a silly question, but I'm looking at the pictures and, you know, the bottom roots are all, it looks like burlap kind of covering them.
Bald and burlap. Yep.
And so you're going to plant those, you said? You're going to put them in the ground?
So what we do is we have a blend of new wood chips and old wood chips. The new wood chips keep the weeds down, but the old chips hold more moisture. And so it's basically like a holding area. It's not really soil. Mm-hmm. We don't want to put them in the ground and have them fully root out, because then it's hard to dig them out of that ground. The ground, after you water it a bunch of times, gets really compacted. If we put them in a chip mixture with some soil and chips together, when we dig those trees out of the ground, we can just take the forks and go in and lift that root ball right up out of the mulch bed and just tap the roots, and all the mulch falls off, and we can take it to a job site with those new roots and plant the whole thing together.
Okay, very good.
And we start collecting chips usually sometime around November in the fall, and as they're dumping chips all winter long, we're blending it to try to get the right blend of soil and chips. And that way we're putting it in the ground with the best stuff. We don't want to use all old chips, because then we'd have so much weeds, it would be hard to control and maintain a pretty looking nursery. So
yeah,
kind of our own recipe there.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Betty and Maslin. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Good morning. I love your program.
Thank you.
I would have two questions. Is it too early to plant grass seed? And is a rhododendron or an azalea, which is the fastest growing?
Okay, good question. Let's start with the grass seed. The grass seed is not going to germinate until the ground temperature gets to about 50 degrees. We're a little ways away from that. I would say you probably don't want to put grass seed down a whole lot before the first week of April. Now, the grass seed will just lay dormant. As long as it's not on a steep slope where it could wash away, it'll just lay dormant. And when the ground temperature gets right, it will germinate and come up. That being said, you do not want to use step one fertilizer for your yard, because that step one fertilizer has got what's called a pre-emergent in it, and it'll prevent those seeds from germinating. So make sure that if you're putting new grass seed down, you just use a regular fertilizer, nothing with a weed preventer in it, okay?
Right. Thank you.
All right. So the other question, does a rhododendron or azalea grow faster? It really depends on the varieties. There's some dwarf rhododendrons that grow very, very slow, and there's some large azaleas that grow very, very fast. So it really just depends on the variety. I would say in most cases, the rhododendrons get significantly larger than the azaleas. The azaleas, most of the ones we carry are going to be in that 3 to 5 or 4 to 6 foot, somewhere in that range. And some rhododendron species can get 10 to 12 foot tall.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a rhododendron at my house that's supposed to get 8 to 10 foot tall, and it's been in the ground for 25 years. And with just some minor pruning, I've kept it at like 4 foot by 4 foot. So you can adjust and prune and maintain the size of a big plant to stay small if you want, if you're willing to put the work into it. That plant has a very dark red color to the flower, and that's kind of what I was after there. So I don't mind, you know, trimming one plant, you know, once a year.
Yeah. And how do you prune a rhododendron?
That's a good question. It's going to be the same for rhododendrons and azaleas. You do not want to prune them right now. Right now, the buds are set for this spring already. If you look at the tip of a rhododendron, of the branching on a rhododendron or an azalea, those buds are already fully formed and going to get ready to open up here in probably about 4 to 6 weeks. We're going to see those plants open up and flower. As soon as they're done flowering, that's when you want to prune them. And you want to fertilize them very heavily with a granular slow release, and that will help them generate growth back down inside.
And do you just take the flower off?
That's a good question. So where it flowers, both plants, where it flowers, just below where that flower bud and flower forms is where the new growth shoots come out. So if you're just maintaining the plant and you want to keep the shape nice, you would trim on that new growth as it comes out. There are some people that I deal with that bought a house that someone else owned and it hasn't been pruned on for years and years and years. In that specific case, they're going to trim back into what we call the hardwood or the old wood that's down underneath. That type of pruning needs to be done over several seasons, and generally you're not going to use head shears for that. You're going to use an individual pair of pruners and make individual cuts. And by cutting just a few branches each season, you can slowly shrink that plant back down. But the harder you prune on it, the more you want to fertilize to encourage that growth to come back out of the center of the plant.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Betty, for calling. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Great questions.
All right. We have one more call. We're going to try to squeeze this in. We have Tammy in North Canton. You are on the air with Roar's Nursery. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just have one question and then a contingent. I was seeing, I think it's called Queen Tut Ornamental Grass. Mm-hmm. Do you carry that? And does it do well in containers?
Yes, we do carry it, and it does wonderful in containers. It is not hardy to this area, unfortunately, but it is a great plant for containers. They can get pretty big, so just make sure if it's a very big container if you're putting it in something like that.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks
great, great question.
All right, Matt, give us locations and phone numbers.
Yes, we have two Roar's Nursery locations, 5357 Everhard Road in Canton and 7211 40th Street in Maslow.
All right, I'll talk to you guys next Thursday.
All right, talk to you then. Bye-bye.